Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
1 Timothy chapter 4, I'll begin reading with verse 10. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. We are continuing with our study on being an excellent minister of Jesus Christ. We're in message 4 of this small series. And as I was looking over this passage, my mind drifted back to the vacation we took recently over to the Cataloochee Valley of the Smoky Mountains. One of the treats that I have of going over there is being able to see how folks lived 100 years ago, roughly. And the buildings that are there, the churches that are there, the ways of life that were preserved. And out of everything that we look at and everything that we see, there's one sentence that can describe it. It was hard work. Life and that day and age was hard work. Now, I'm not talking about the same type of hard work we have today. The factory work that we do, the jobs that we have today, it's hard work. But the hard work they had over there started at daylight, sometimes before, and it went well beyond dark into the evenings sometime. It was 7 days a week. It was 365 days a year. There was no vacations. There was no means of entertainment or nothing of that nature. It was life. Life in itself was hard work, but it was accepted as such. Now you may wonder, how does that fit into the message tonight? Well, when we look at the proposition of tonight's passage, we see that the excellent minister of Jesus Christ is one who realizes the calling itself is hard work. Sadly, tonight, too many people and too many pastors and ministers are involved with simply going through the motions of repeating what someone else has been led to do in the past. Reading the messages that have been published by other preachers and pastors, and taking those messages and plagiarizing them into their own. That, sadly, often is a means that's improperly utilized. There are many ends to not doing the work of the ministry. You see, the work of the ministry of Jesus Christ is some of the hardest work that someone could ever take. It's some of the hardest work I have ever taken upon myself. For example, Bible study itself begins and ends in the study. And it is there where prayerful revelation of the heavenly words of God's book is sought, and where that revelation is prayed over, and it is assembled for preaching, and it's assembled for teaching. You see, the hard work of ministry includes no shortcuts. There's no easy way out. The minister who takes his work seriously doesn't go to a book or doesn't go to a pre-made website and download something and copy it and paste it into a document and then bring it back in at a church service and preach it. No, the minister of Jesus Christ reads and studies and prayerfully evaluates his work in the words of God, and then in the process of study may read what other men have preached and may listen to what other men have preached, but will do it as a way of gleaning from God's Word. There are no shortcuts. There are no easy way outs. And if a man is looking for that, he better look for something else to do. Because preaching and ministry is not what God has called him to do. That may sound harsh, but it's true. Churches find themselves, and I speak of churches, I'm talking about congregations now, find themselves in a spot tonight where they feel weak. They feel like there is no power left among their congregations. And sadly, oftentimes that falls back on the responsibility of the one in the pulpit, because the one in the pulpit isn't striving to be the excellent minister that Christ has called him to be. There's an old saying that says that goes something like this: everything rises and falls on leadership. And that holds true for the church. If the church isn't being led by the pastor, and the pastor isn't being led by God's Word, and if God's Word isn't flowing through the pastor in the messages that's being preached and the messages that are being taught, then the people aren't being fed. Now, there is another old saying that goes something like this: you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And you know, I found out that's a true saying. Because again, when I was over in the Cataloochee on vacation, a friend of mine was there with his horses, and we would ride them up and down the mountains, and they would be hot and they would be tired. But we would bring them back down to the water trough, and sometimes they just wouldn't drink. You could lead them right up to it, and you could take their nose, and you could dip their nose down into the water, and they would just raise their head and look at you. They wouldn't drink. The same goes with preaching and teaching the Word of God. If the person that's in the pulpit is a sincere minister, someone who strives to be excellent in God's work and in God's Word, and he is preaching and teaching God's Word, and he is putting it out there for the folks to hear, then it is up to those that hear it then to seek God in their heart to apply it to them. But before all of that can take place, the man in the pulpit has to be a hard-working, sincere, dedicated minister of Jesus Christ. Think about hard work tonight as we continue to look into the Word of God and see what it has to say concerning being an excellent minister of Jesus Christ. Notice with me tonight first that being an excellent minister is being diligent to serious effort. Commitment and self-sacrifice as it's needed to accomplish the task that God has prepared and that God has presented. For to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach. Paul is telling Timothy that you're not in this alone. I'm laboring right there with you. I'm suffering right there with you. A good minister of Jesus Christ always has someone that he knows that is right there with him, someone that is laboring with him, someone that is praying with him. I have friends that are pastors that I consider very dear friends. And we have our conversations and we have our meetings, and our meetings are not about others. Our meetings are about the Word of God. Our meetings are about lifting each other up and about loving each other and about encouraging one another. It is about commitment. If there is one thing that I am committed to tonight, it is preaching the Word of God. I am more committed to my ministry. I am more committed to my preaching. I am more committed to reading, learning, and understanding my Bible than I am in anything in my life. Because of my commitment to God's Word, my commitment to my family is better. Because of my commitment to God's Word, my commitment to my job is better. Because of my commitment to God's Word, my commitment to my community, to my country, and to life, and to people, and to circumstances in general is better. because I have a sound foundation in God's Word, a foundation that I can hang my hat on, if you'll allow me to use that cliche tonight. Doing ministry is doing the Lord's work, and it often means putting other matters on hold. It often means putting other needs on hold, prioritizing. Prioritizing work, prioritizing effort. Now, I say these things not about me personally, not to lift me up tonight. I do say them to tell you what I strive to be and where my heart is. But I say them so that you will realize that this is what God expects from His ministers. God doesn't expect His ministers to be riding around in limousines. I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying God doesn't expect it. God doesn't expect His men to be flying around in jet airplanes. Again, I'm not saying He forbids it, but He doesn't expect it. What God does expect is for His men to be in His Word, praying and diligently seeking a message from that Word to share on the hearts and the lives of the people. We look at the condition of our nation tonight with all of the violence, all of the upheaval, all of the distrust, all of the discord that's going around in America, and we wonder, where has God gone? God hasn't gone anywhere. The people have left God tonight. The people. The people of America have stepped aside from God. Now, I'm not going to say that is exclusively the problem of the pastors, but I will say this. Weak, watered down preaching that is not prayerfully prepared from the study of God's Word has no conviction. And when there is no conviction in the hearts and the lives of the person that's preaching it, there will be no conviction in the hearts and the lives of those who are hearing it. And if there are no conviction in the hearts and the lives of those who are hearing it, then there is going to be no desire to stay in God's house and stay under the teaching and under the learning of God's Word. Diligent, serious effort on behalf of those preaching and teaching God's Word is an effort that will be rewarded. It's an effort that will be rewarded by God blessing those who are doing the work in to prepare, and it will be rewarded through those that hear it because their lives will be fuller. Their lives will be more complete. Number two, tonight, being an excellent minister is living in hope. Because we trust in the living God. That word, the English word trust there, when you go back into the Greek text, you will see the meaning of hope comes from that. And it's not a motivation of instant gratification or immediate fulfillment. No, that isn't hope. Hope is an expectation that realizes this will happen. Something will take place. And you will know what the end result is. I know that if I put my trust and my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if I stay diligent to His Word, my hope is that God will bless the work that He has called me to do through blessing the lives of some who hear it. I have no doubt that every time I take a pulpit, that when I preach a message, someone is going to be blessed by it. In some way, shape, form, or fashion. It may not be the same person every week. It may not be a person listening to the message from inside of this church this week. But somewhere, someone is going to hear it and they're going to be blessed. Because ministry, true ministry, is fulfilling. And that fulfillment, it may not be realized financially. It may not be realized materially. It may not even be realized through recognition. Do you realize the most well-read authors of theology and doctrine were never realized until decades or even centuries after their death. You've heard of the great preacher that's called the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon? Do you realize that there was a time during Spurgeon's ministry where his messages, he published his messages in a flyer every week. Even though he preached in England, they were sent, a lot of people subscribed to them here in the States. And he realized that his preaching rubbed people, and the conviction that came from it was so great that there was actually a gathering of his sermons and his messages in the United States, and they burned them. They burned the messages of one of the greatest preachers that has ever stood behind a pulpit. And yet, now, those very same messages are published in volume after volume after volume after volume. They are some of the most well-read and well-studied messages and well-prepared messages that have ever been put in front of man. But that didn't happen until after his death. John Owen, another great theologian and pastor of the Reformation, particularly of the Baptist movement after the Reformation. He lived in poverty most of his life. A very well-educated man, but he lived in poverty. Because the message he preached wasn't well received, because he didn't come from a pedigree of a name. These men are just two examples of two men that lived in hope. The work they did not do for the attention of people. They did for the glory of God. And that is something that I draw strength from tonight. And that is something that I find a desire in my heart to know that what I do for the glory of God. And that it will touch someone's heart somewhere. That it will help draw someone closer to Christ. It will help bring someone to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That if one person in my lifetime is called through the message that God gives me to come to Jesus Christ and receive Him as Lord and Savior, what more could I ask for? What more could I hope for? An excellent minister is a minister who lives in the hope of being used of God to touch people's lives. And some of the greatest work I think that can be done in a minister's life is for the messages he preaches in his local church to be carried out by the congregation into the community and just discussed in the community. That's the greatest compliment I believe a pastor can have. It isn't about how well of an orator he is. It isn't how well educated he may be. It isn't how smooth his words may flow. It isn't how articulate they are, how alliterated they are. It isn't any of that. It is the mere fact of the folks that hear him can say, I understood what God was saying through him. Well, not only is the excellent minister a person of diligent, serious effort and a person of living hope, he is a person that is dedicated only to God. A pastor serves God's people by serving God. And that is by being a messenger of His Word. Pastors can take on a lot of different roles in the church. Pastors can be everything from community chaplains and caregivers to missionaries to workers in charitable organizations to many, many other roles. But if they're not fulfilling God's calling to preach the Word of God and to give God's message to His people, then they are letting down God's calling upon their heart and upon their life. Nothing else matters. That is the primary calling of the pastor is to preach and teach and prayerfully seek God's word and present it to those listening. Dedication to anything more than God is a wrong dedication. It's a wrong place. When we see because we trust in the living God, Paul tells Timothy, the living God is your direction. The living God is your spiritual strength. The living God is the one whom has called you, whom has saved you, whom has redeemed you through Jesus Christ. He is the one and the only one that is worthy of the message that you have to give. And coming through Timothy, going to the church in Ephesus, that was the message that they needed to hear in their congregation. And guess what? That's the very message that we need to hear tonight. That's the very message that every congregation in every church across the land needs to hear tonight. God is the living God of our salvation. There is none that is greater. The God of the careers isn't greater. The God of the sports world isn't greater. The God of entertainment isn't greater. The God of personal satisfaction and prosperity isn't greater. The God that has redeemed us and called us and saved us is the only God that's worth our attention and worth our time tonight. He is worth it to such a level that He requires our dedication to Him. And that dedication comes in many forms and fashion. Yes, the church needs to be dedicated to be in the church when services are there. But being a warm body sitting in a pew isn't necessarily dedication. Where's the heart? Dedication also comes from taking the Word of God out of the church, out of the pew, and taking it into the workplace and into the world. And doing it boldly. That is a dedication that the church seems to be afraid to do tonight. The church seems to have a fear or an intimidation of taking God's Word out of the church house. We want to leave it here. We want to hear it. And we want it to bless our hearts while we're sitting here, but we want to leave that blessing here and pick it back up next time because we don't want to deal with the intimidation and the frustration of the world. God asks us to be dedicated, and God asks that dedication to start with the man in the pulpit. Not only is there dedication, living hope, and serious effort, but there is teaching with authority. And authority has a fourfold foundation tonight. First, it is a strong commitment to the Word of God. In other words, any uncertainty in the Bible will lack authoritative preaching. Either the Bible is the inerrant, inspired Word of God without any contradictions, or it is a lie. There's no middle ground. I stand on tonight the analogy that it is inerrant and that it is inspired, that it is not contradictory. If I find anything there that I think may be contradictory, I know that I need to study harder, I need to pray longer, because I'm not seeing the full truth in God's Word. If we want to see authority in the preaching and teaching of God's Word, we must be committed to the reality and the truth of it being inerrant and it being inspired. Next, we have to realize the man who does not know what the Bible means will lack authoritative preaching, interpretation, understanding. In seminary, it's called hermeneutics. But it is being able to take and read the Word of God and prayerfully work through it to understand and interpret it. If we're going to teach it, if we're going to preach it, if we're going to let it work through us, then we must know what it means and we must be able to communicate what it means. It can't be something where we think we know, we hope we know, or we have an opinion about what it knows. We owe it to God to properly communicate His Word, to do it with authority, is to do it by understanding a full interpretation. Number three, teaching with authority is the expectation that the truth of God's Word will be upheld and enforced by church discipline. Church discipline is something that isn't heard about a lot today. History over the church goes into great detail about discipline, about what is expected, what isn't expected, what is tolerated, what isn't tolerated. It's not about kicking someone out the door. Church discipline is about holding someone accountable to God's Word. It's about holding everyone accountable equally to God's Word. There are no big I's and little we's. Everyone is held to level ground. Something that's interesting about church discipline that today, even when it is discussed too often incorrectly. Church discipline is not the responsibility of the pastor and it's not the responsibility of the deacons. It's the responsibility of the church, the congregation. If something is going awry, somebody is stepping outside of what they should be doing, and it is brought to the direction of the elders, then there is a matter inside of God's Word of how it should be handled. It should be approached individually, privately, quietly first. And if that doesn't work, then witnesses are taken. And then if that doesn't work, then they are brought before the church. To be corrected. Not to be kicked out. Not to necessarily be expelled, but to be corrected. Lovingly, kindly, and sincerely corrected. We don't see a lot of church discipline today because churches don't want discipline. That's why a lot of authority has left the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Well, the preacher is also someone that's not concerned with pleasing men, rather he's concerned with pleasing God. Too often today, I listen to messages that are very well received by thousands and tens of thousands of people. But they have no Bible. They have no context of God's Word. They say a lot about people. They're great motivational messages. They're very uplifting and inspiring. But the folks that are cheering and clapping and applauding, they are leaving empty. Because they're being pleased, but they're not being fed. Being an excellent minister of Jesus Christ requires hard work. It requires hard work from the pulpit. It requires hard work from the pew. Because as I said last week, an excellent minister is not just the one who has the name and the title of pastor. we all are ministers of Jesus Christ. And we all are held to a degree and to a level of ministry. It starts in the pulpit, but it has to be carried out in the pew. An effective minister is not Superman. He is a man with a super calling, though. God gives strength as it is necessary to meet the workload that He places upon His people. You see, Timothy must be prepared to work hard as a minister in order to be the example for the church to follow. And the body of Christ is the minister God has called to the hard work of proclaiming the gospel. The gospel is proclaimed through the disciples, and the disciples are the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is the entire church from the pulpit to the pew. Everyone who is born again, redeemed, saved by grace through faith. Whether it is stopping with the proclaiming of the gospel or continuing to meet physical needs, whether it's growing the church as an influence in the lives of others, whatever it may be, we all have that testimony. We all have that witness. We all have that responsibility. When Paul says, these things command and teach, Paul is telling Timothy, don't just gloss over them with pretty words. Put them in your heart. Put them in your life. Let them take root and anchor in your heart and in your life, and let that be an example to those who see you daily, so that they too will have the conviction to share.